Bill Buckley with you, and it's Tech Talk time with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Türkalp. You can always read more of his musings on his website, gadgetdetective.com, and you can follow him on Twitter as well, at gadgetdetective. And here he is. Hello, Fevzi.
Hello, Bill.
Good to have you with us, and we're starting with our tech story of the week. And goodness me, this is a big one. A legal case which has been launched on behalf of more than a million people. Why? What's been going on?
Well, this is a story that actually goes back to misdeeds back in 2015, when a company called DeepMind, which used to be a British company but was sold to Google some years ago, it was our brilliant AI jewel in the crown, and it was allowed to be sold to the Americans. It actually reminds me of, you know, selling nuclear technology or something. Some technologies they should actually prevent from being sold. But seriously, these are key technologies like ARM. You know, ARM, that there was a British company called ARM. It makes all the chips that go into just about every modern smartphone, tablet, and now desktop computers. It was a British company sold to foreign interests, and it's just talk about selling the family silver. But I digress. So DeepMind, which is now is owned by Google and is being subsumed into Google, into something called Google Health, is now being embroiled in a legal case which was launched on behalf of more than a million people whose confidential medical records were obtained by Google. Well, to be fair, they were shared by the NHS, specifically the Royal Free Hospital Foundation Trust, which controls a number of hospitals in North and Central North London. And this was a project where the NHS decided that it was going to share the data of millions of NHS patients, that's like you and me, our medical data, with essentially Google, so that they could build an app that would help doctors. Now, obviously, that, you know, helping doctors is a good thing. But what we've seen is a lot of this, like the NHS doesn't want to invest the money into developing these sorts of database tools itself. And instead, it doesn't want to pay a company to do it and own the data. What it does is it trades our data for the app. And
the point being, but however much of a good idea that is, it's our data and we should decide whether we wish to participate or not.
Well, yeah, but all the criticism is that they didn't take enough steps to, protect our data. But actually, the whole legal framework of this is incorrect. The starting point should be exactly what you've said and you've assumed to be legally correct, but is not necessarily legally correct.
Really?
Our data is ours. And there's this thing called anonymization, where you're meant to be able to strip out, you know, the name, and therefore the data is anonymous. But there is also a thing called de-anonymization, whereby combining bits of seemingly unrelated data, you can work out who a person is. Mm-hmm. And you can have computer programs that de-anonymize the anonymized data very, very successfully. So it's an interesting, the app, which was called Streams, which was designed to diagnose and detect when patients were at risk of acute kidney injury, has now been decommissioned anyway, because DeepMind is being subsumed into Google Health. So due to a structural change within Google, in true Google style, the NHS is not even going to benefit from this.
Well, either it's needed or it's not.
But because they own it, you know, that's the whole thing. Google is a, you know, obviously it's a private company, it's proprietary. We don't own it. We get the right to access the apps that they might produce in exchange for us feeding their AI systems with 1.6 million people's data.
Right.
By the way, can I just tell you, as a sort of background to this, because I don't know how many people are aware of this, but there is something called the General Practice Data for Planning and Research Scheme, which is temporarily shelved, but looks like it may come back. Mm-hmm. In the summer, our government announced this scheme, the GP Data and for Planning and Research, whereby people were given a 6-week opportunity to opt out of having all their GP records shared with private companies. And when I say shared, I mean sold or traded. So it's a similar sort of thing. There's been such an uproar, and over a million people did manage to opt out over the summer, and the plan has been temporarily shelved. But you can see how this is going. This, you know, there are plans afoot to monetize our data. And it's our private medical data. And, you know, GP data is very sensitive. I mean, what happens when they share it with a company which is then bought by a medical insurance company who then won't insure you because they know about your ailments because they've de-anonymized your data?
Supposing that Google lose this case, what kind of punishments can a court hand out to a hugely massive and rich global phenomenon like can you really ever dent them in any meaningful way?
I'm not even sure that this case would affect Google. I think if anything, it would affect the Royal Free Hospital Foundation Trust.
We don't want to fine them millions of pounds because we just have to then pay it ourselves back.
That's our own money that we're finding ourselves. Yeah. I think what it might do, if I put my rarely optimistic hat on, it might bring about change in the legal framework. Mm. You know, for the GP data sharing, they've already had to back off and try and make the... But the government tried to slip it through on a system that no one had heard of and give them 6 weeks over the summer in the middle of a pandemic to opt out. And why is it? And why is it an opt-out system anyway? Why is it not an opt-in system? If you want your data shared, you can opt in. If you want to say, you know, for the greater good, I trust these companies with my data. But you see, once this data is shared, traded, sold into the private sector, there are no effective limitations on where it goes. Companies are bought by companies; they merge into others. We just saw it where, you know, DeepMind was bought and then merging into Google Health, thereby scrapping the app, but also meaning that data just sloshes around in buckets of computer buckets, and who knows what's being done with it? Who's being sold to?
Do we have any kind of time scale on this? When might we know the outcome?
Don't know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. There's a law firm called Michon de Rea. It's quite interesting because we don't formally have class actions in this country, but this is as close as we get to them. It's a type of legal case known as opt-out representative action, where there's a lead litigant who is deemed to represent the others. But I'm not sure if people would necessarily get a cut of any proceeds because our legal system doesn't quite work in the same way as in America.
Have to return to this then another day, perhaps, when we get to that stage.
Blood pressure is a bit lower.
Yes, we'll have a little cool down and we'll play a song and then we'll talk about a lovely gadget. It's Bill Buckley here, talking at the moment to gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp. On we go to the gadget of the week, the Withings, or possibly Withings, BPM Connect. Now, to me, Fevzi, BPM means beats per minute, but we're not talking about music here.
Also stands for blood pressure monitor. So you see, it's almost like it was planned. This is a medical theme for this week. So Withings is a French company. The BPM Connect is one of two blood pressure monitors they make. Withings is best known for internet-connected devices, health monitoring devices. So they do everything from thermometers to sleep.
Sounds incredibly British and not at all French, doesn't it, Withings?
Withings. Interestingly enough, a few years ago, they got bought up by Nokia and became part of Nokia Medical. But then they bought themselves back out again. It wasn't, culture-wise, it wasn't a good fit. And I think they've actually made more exciting products since they left Nokia. So,
isn't always better, right?
Yeah, no, Withings are very good. And they make, and I know this is like stereotyping, perhaps I shouldn't say it, but they make very elegant devices, which you would associate with a French company, I think. The smart watches they make are extremely elegant. They don't look like smart watches. They look like, you know, very stylish,
like watches.
Elegant watches. Yeah. Well, they do. They've got hands on them as well,
normal. Yes. Yeah.
But yet they do a lot of, you know, the things that you need for a medical smartwatch. So this is called the BPM Connect. It's one of two blood pressure monitors. It's the cheaper of the two because all it does is measure blood pressure, as opposed to the other one, which checks for atrial fibrillation and also is a digital stethoscope all in one. So if you want that, it's more money. That one's called the BPM Core. But today we're talking about BPM Connect. So it's a blood pressure monitor. It works like a normal one in that it's a cuff on your upper arm. It is unlike a conventional blood pressure monitor in that it is one piece. There is no air tube that then goes to a unit that sits on the desk next to you. It is a cuff with a built-in display and button and rechargeable battery that goes in it. You charge the battery once, 3-hour charge gives you up to 6 months use. So it's quite smart in the literal sense. So first of all, It's a medically accurate monitor. It's compliant with European medical device standards. Secondly, it's very easy to read because there is a digital display on the actual cuff, and it's color-coded. So it not only gives you, you know, your systolic and diastolic, so I don't know, let's say if you're doing well, 120 over 80 or something like that, and your pulse, but it gives you color coding, which is green, amber, red. So you don't have to be a genius to work out that if you go amber or red, it's not ideal, you know. But the other thing is...
If you get a red, it could exacerbate the situation even further, I would have thought.
Yes, it could. You've literally seen red and the consequences of that. But the other strong thing about this, Withings have got an app called HealthMate, which is, in my experience, the best health app available for any of these sorts of devices. So when you buy one of these devices, you sort of buy into an ecosystem, although this does actually is actually able to share data with Apple's data health app as well. But the Withings HealthMate app is very, very good. So it will combine with, say, a smartwatch, your smart scales, your sleep monitor, your thermometer, all this stuff brought together. So what it does is it gives you the result on the cuff, but it also synchronizes with your smartphone or tablet, and that can be iOS or Android. And the clever thing is it doesn't just rely on Bluetooth. It can do it via Bluetooth, but it can also do it via your home Wi-Fi. Mm. So you don't have to have the device next to you at the time for it to then synchronize.
Yeah.
Once it synchronizes the data, there's a number of benefits. You're not reliant upon a small number of readings that it can store in the device. So some more conventional devices, even the upmarket ones, they will store, you know, a dozen or a couple of dozen readings, or even 100, but it's limited. With this, what it does, it's an unlimited storage that is then shown as a graph on your device, your smartphone or tablet. So you can see the trend over time, because a single reading doesn't really mean much. Mm. But if you take multiple readings, it will show you that. And then that data, if you wish to share it with your physician, they can look at how you've done over time.
Good.
There's another nice trick that a single blood pressure reading can be inaccurate. But what you can set this to do if you want to is to take three readings in a row with a space after it. So you leave the cuff on, let's say, for 7 minutes, and then it'll take a reading, wait 2 minutes, take another reading, wait 2 minutes, take another reading. And that will tend to give you more accurate readings as well. So all in all, I think pretty good. The other thing I love about it is blood pressure monitors are not cheap things. Good ones are not cheap. And you don't want, if you've got a family and you've got a number of adults in the family and you want to monitor the blood pressure, most blood pressure monitors that allow you more than one user will only allow you two, who are then known as user one and user two, right? And you have to switch between them. And sometimes you get it wrong, and then your reading goes into your partner's history and vice versa. This one can monitor up to eight individuals, and their names scroll across the cuff, so you can be sure you're storing it in the right person's data. So you actually get the person's name. Also, because it's one piece, it's easier to put in a sort of weekend bag if one's going away and still needs to monitor. It's really good. I think about one in three people adults in this country have high blood pressure. So RRP for this is £89.95. Mm-hmm. I've gone onto withings.com this morning, and it was being sold for £74.96, complete with 2-year warranty. I also note that Amazon this morning are selling it for £71.96. So at that price, that's at the upper end of a conventional blood pressure monitor, you know, so one of the conventional ones that isn't as smart as this, you'd pay that. If you wanted to, you know, go for the BPM Core, that's a little under £200, okay. £191. But I think, you know, as a standard blood pressure monitor, this does it really well, because it gives you the chart. You can actually see it. It gives you advice. You know, there's built-in advice into it as well. And the ability to share with your physician, I think, is really important, because, you know, this thing called white coat syndrome, where you go into a doctor's waiting surgery and they take your blood pressure and it's elevated because you're in front of the doctor and it's a slightly stressful mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah,
whereas
important,
if
yeah.
you've got your own monitor at home, you know, you don't need to, I don't know how, you know, check it once a week or whatever, but you get readings over time, and you can see the trend. And if your blood pressure starts creeping up over time, I don't just mean because someone's upset you, but over time, if the average reading is going up, that can be detected and dealt with.
And despite all that, he only gives it 4 stars out of 5 because he's so mean. But anyway.
You know why? Because
is it the price?
No, it's because it doesn't have built-in atrial fibrillation detection, which atrial fibrillation is the most common arrhythmia amongst human beings. I think up to 1 in 4 adults get it, and it is a life-threatening illness. It increases your risk of stroke, I think, about 5-fold. So if you are interested in that, so I've given it 4 because it's good and it's good value for money and it's much smarter than others at the price. But I would say that the BPM Core, although more expensive, does monitor, has got full single lead ECG in it, and it does that as well as a digital stethoscope. So I think that, you know, if you've got the cash to splash, I'd go for the BPM Core, and that's why it's got 4 stars and not 4.5.
We've been talking about the Withings BPM Connect, and he is Fevzi Türkalp. You can see more on the website gadgetdetective.com, and we shall play again in 7 days, Fevzi. Thanks so much. Have a good one.